You're going to talk to one of my producers. He's the one that does it, PastorBush.tv. He's the one that does the DVDs and CDs, Phil Hudock. We're going to talk to another gentleman named Gene Stoniker about what we talked about over the last few weeks on the World Powers Act in 1933, what it means. Another guest called in Bomb Air. Don't go away. For the last several weeks, I've been trying to urge everybody I can get to listen to me to send in $5 and get about a 40-page copy of the World Powers Act of 1933. If you want to see why Congress does nothing, whether it be state or federal, does nothing, you'll find out why in the War Powers Act. And I just don't want to tell you, except if you don't take my word for it, I can't help it. But you'll find out that the Congress give the president's ability to declare a state's emergency every year and run the government the way they want to without much question. Now, that is a fact. Our guest tonight, Phil Hudock, is no stranger if you've been listening to him at all. He's been a brother of mine for 20 years. Hard to believe, but he has been. I helped raise his daughters, actually. But anyway, they've been coming to church ever since the youngest was in diapers. And what a blessing they've been. And Phil Hudock is the one who, him and Barry, put together our programs on Saturdays. You get to watch. Phil does all the DVDs and CDs. He does a lot more than that. And so if you got a bad CD or DVD, it's Phil's fault, not mine. Blame him. And his friend, and my friend, Gene Stoniker, a couple of warriors, folks, that aren't afraid to get in the face of the politicians. And just because, you know, you look at me and think, man, your ministry is doing well, you run smoothly. It's only because I have people like Phil Hudock behind me. If he weren't there, you don't even want to think about that. Weren't for him and Crystal and Lisa and Aaron and Judy and everybody else, you wouldn't think about what would happen. But anyway, let's go and bring up Phil real quickly. Phil, are you there?
Hey, Butch, I'm here.
Well, I'm glad to hear you there, man. We couldn't make it without you.
Well, I try to smooth out the edges. We're having a good time, and I want to tell you, there is hope. Let me tell you what happened today. I forgot to tell you this. I substituted in school, and, you know, we think that the young people aren't aware about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the first class standing there, and this girl looked at me, and she said, "Do you know you have two different shoes on?" I looked down, and I had a burgundy leather shoe on my left foot, and I had a tan suede shoe on my right foot. So, don't say these youngsters aren't aware of what's going on.
Well, you may start a whole new fad.
That's what I tried to tell them. You know, this was like, instead of different color socks, it's the shoes to go with it.
Oh, my. Oh, the fashionista, Phil Hudock. Wow. Okay, Phil, it's good to have you. Now, we're going to bring Gene Stoniker up. Gene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It's good to have you, Gene. Have you ever been on this broadcast before? I don't remember.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, welcome. It's time to get your feet wet.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know that you are a battler. You're the one, I guess, brought to everybody's attention, although we heard about it before, but you brought to attention in more detail about War Powers Act 1933 and what it entails and what it's done to us. So I'm going to let you start off a little bit and give you a couple minutes here to tell folks who you are. Just tell me your background very quickly, what you did for a living, and how you got involved with all this stuff. Go ahead.
This is Phil. I want Gene to tell you about the 1970s textbook battle that he got involved in with the Kanawha County School Board. A little bit about that, because Butch, he's been in the battle longer than we have. We've been
for
a long time.
Go ahead, Gene.
Well, actually, it was 1974 and 75 was what we call the textbook war. There's a book out on it called Protester Voices, the 1974 Textbook Tea Party. And it's by Carl Priest. He's a friend of mine, former school teacher, retired. He's written this book about what happened concerning the Kanawha County textbook protests in Charleston, West Virginia. That's very informative. Basically, they were introducing textbooks that had no value to them at all. Some of them had many cuss words in them and shouldn't have been shown to children. So
right.
That was in 1974, and it spilled over through 74 and 75, and we were successful in removing some of the books for a while. But, you know, after several years had passed, they had regressed, you know, back to that.
And look how far they come in the wrong direction, Gene, in the last 30, 40 years.
Oh, yeah. That particular incident led to the formation of many Christian schools, which was
a good thing.
Was a good thing, yes.
Yes,
it was.
Yes. So what'd you do? What was your background before you got involved with all this? What did you do?
I worked at the post office.
Or post office. You're a postmaster then.
I retired there after 30-some years. I was in the military before that for 4 years.
So you've been out in the front then for different areas, doing different things since 1970s. You started about 3 years after I got married. But anyway, so you've been at it for a long time. I started back in the 90s. Phil started not too long after that with me and moved in there. So you've been in about a long time. You're the one that brought to our attention in more detail the War Powers Act 1933. Why don't you give it about a 30-second overview?
I believe I'll let Phil give you the overview.
Okay, all right.
I would just say that I have been into all this on all the aspects of constitutional law, and that's all I've done for years and years is read constitutions and studied of written legislators and different things like that. But it would seem that everybody is deaf.
Right, right.
And so, you know, that's basically about all you do. They send you cursory letter there and explain this and explain that, but mostly they never give you a straight answer. I had done that for years and many other things, and then I came across this War Powers Act, and then after I'd read it, I thought, well, this is what it's all about. So,
amen.
I believe I'll leave you with
okay.
that, and Phil can tell you what it's all about.
Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say Gene put it all on the line. He got arrested back in the 70s when he was a postmaster. So he put it on the line back in the 70s, and he brings something to the table, a greater understanding of the Constitution and the rule of law, plus the guest that's going to come on at the bottom of the hour, whom we call John Smith, have brought their own expertise to the table. I'm pretty much an information clearinghouse. We are in a terrible mess. It's a moral meltdown. That's the bottom line. If people aren't moral, no amount of laws are going to protect them, period.
That's okay? True.
We look at what's going on, like Jade Helm, which basically fingers Texas as being a rebel state. Well, you know, it was the states that formed the federal government, okay? It was
right.
The colonies. And, of course, it's the people who are over it all. We, the people, are the top power in government. We are the top power structure. We are the, you know, we the people, as it says in our founding documents. But if you look at government, and if you look at usurpation of powers that they really don't even have, all you have to do is read the War Powers Act of 1933. And if people want to go to, and I'm really proud of this site that's only about a week old now, it's called hudok.info, hudok.info. They can download that War Powers Act. They can see what Gene and I are doing. They can, if they want to take the red pill, they can really go into this. I must warn everyone, just as Gene put it on the line, you know, when I got fired from my teaching job, that was a case where I was called to put it on the line. You know, when you and I drove without a driver's license for 8 years. We were called to put it on the line. What we're doing is dangerous, but to not do anything is even more dangerous.
Well, to not do anything at all is cowardly.
Especially in the spiritual sense. What is it? Edmund Burke said, for evil to triumph, you have good men doing nothing.
Oh, right? Yeah, yes, exactly.
Well, the question is, if good men are doing nothing, are they really good men?
That's a question I've asked many times. You know that. Absolutely. Good point.
So basically, Roosevelt went to the government. There was a Trading with the Enemies Act 1917 during World War One. Okay, in 1933, now we're in another emergency. It's the financial meltdown. And at that point, Roosevelt went to Congress with an act that was actually written by the Federal Reserve. And when you find out what Roosevelt did, you'll understand why the Federal Reserve was behind it. And that is, and I knew this for a long time, Butch, and you knew it, that the federal government in 1933 confiscated everyone's privately owned gold.
Yes.
In order to do that, in order to take a person's private property.
Okay, hang on through the break, okay?
Yeah.
Folks, got a lot more to talk about. We're going to try to squeeze in a phone call too in this half hour. If you haven't got a copy of the War Powers Act, you'll find it on Phil's website. If you don't have a computer, we have a hard copy for donation of $5 for postage and printing. You've got to have a copy of this and make some for your friends. I promise. Don't go away. All right, folks, we are back. Here we're talking about, again, the War Powers Act. This is a this is the beginning of a lot of problems in this country that has never been resolved because, well, ignorance, apathy, or whatever it may be, it hasn't been resolved. And it's just something that we need to look at. You say, preacher, I can't do anything about it. Why should I know it? Why would you not want to know truth? You know, the truth will make you free. I don't understand why you don't want to know truth. I don't understand why you're afraid of truth. You can at least explain to somebody how this happened when they ask you what happened to our country. This was a huge nail in a coffin. This was one of the spikes driven into the Constitution that destroyed what was left of our freedoms as early as 1933 and even before that, but especially 1933. Phil, go ahead.
Right, and everyone needs to read Professor Stamper's War Powers Act of 1933 document to really understand, but I can boil it down in a nutshell and tell you how it came about and what it means to us. Roosevelt went to Congress with an act written by the Federal Reserve, and he said, please give me these powers because we have an emergency. And Congress gave him powers to basically be a king, a potentate. And to this day, those powers have never been rescinded. And Congress told the president that you have these powers until some president cancels this emergency situation. So, you know, we have a war on terror, war on drugs, war on poverty, all these declarations of war, because this gives the president the power to do many things. Now, here's what a congressman said in 1933 as they were about to pass this. Listen to this. His name was Congressman Beck, and this is March 9th, 1933. Quote, the vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional practices. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may, now listen, seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways control the lives of all American citizens. We wonder how Barack Obama and the federal government could take over General Motors. Well, it says here, regulate the operation of private enterprise. This is true, and in a Senate report in 1973, the first sentence reads, since March 9, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. So we've been in that emergency, and it hasn't been rescinded. So therefore, when we think that the federal government is acting outside of law, well, yes, they're acting outside of legitimate law, but they're operating on pseudo-law, okay? So basically, what Gene and I have done, we have a petition that we presented first to the legislature, and this was back in February.
And this is Gene. Could I interrupt you?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
Just read them the part where we're declared the enemy. That's the kicker of the whole thing there. If you read that, and then you can go on and
it's important to know that when they did that, Gene, that's when they could regulate us with license and taxes and all the control that the feds have on us. And that's how it all started, folks. That far back. That's how it started. Go ahead, Phil. Do you have
well,
the in front of you?
Yeah. The document is 43 pages, and I don't have access to that.
And by the way, Phil, is it worth a $5 donation to get a copy of it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to know the truth, accept the truth, and act on the truth.
Amen. And you see, a lot of people say, well, if I don't know, I'm not accountable for it. Folks, willful ignorance will damn you. Now, I'm dead serious about that. Yeah, willful ignorance will damn you. If you know there's something that you should at least study and look into, you willfully turn your head from it. That means that you're not ignorant any longer. You're willfully ignorant, which means you're stupid. You've denied the truth. And, Gene, you've been involved in this and different things a long time. How have you seen in your lifetime the War Powers Act and other things progress to where we are today? How have you seen that happen?
Well, I've seen them.
Okay, hang on through the break. I'm sorry, right in the break, Tom. Hang on through the break there, Gene. All right, you folks, hope you listen tonight. But, you know, people say, well, but you're a pastor, you're a preacher. Why do you want to discuss this? I mean, why is it important to you? Folks, I live here. My sons, my grandchildren live here. what has happened to this country, and we're going to let Gene very briefly explain this, and then we're going to go to John Smith in a minute, let him share some things. But what Gene's about to explain to you is what he's seen progress in his lifetime. This affects my grandchildren. This affects Phil's four daughters and their children when they get married and have them. This affects everyone out there. And I thought as a Christian, we're to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. If we are not, if we lose our saltiness, if we lose our preservative powers, we're good for nothing but to cast out and try another foot of men. And what has happened to the, quote, church today? We're laughed at, mocked, scorned, ridiculed, and those that stand are persecuted and prosecuted. You don't believe me? Look at Indiana. They passed an anti-sodomite law, and that place is going nuts. Let's go back to Gene. Gene, go ahead. I didn't mean to get started. Go ahead, Gene.
Of course, I interrupted Phil there, but I just wanted to impress upon the listeners that the 1933 War Powers Act amended the 1917 War Powers Act. In the 1917 right. War Powers Act, it gave a definition of who the enemy was. It wasn't the citizens of the United States. It was states. It was aliens that were here and were loyal to a foreign power that we would be at war with. But the 33 War Powers Act amended the 1917 and made all the citizens of the United States the enemy of the United States.
Right.
We the people, according to the War Powers Act of 1933, we are the enemy. So we are the booty, which means they can take and make and break and do anything they want to with us. And that's what has happened over the ensuing years.
Okay, well, let's go and bring up our next guest before we run out of time. This hour goes by so quickly. Okay. And folks, we have phone lines open, 855-242-8824. Our next guest we'll bring up, let me talk a few minutes, is John Smith. Obviously, that's not the name he uses all the time, but that's what we're going to call him tonight. John Smith has taken a stand. He's been right. And it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong, believe me. So, John Smith, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm sitting here looking at the 33 Act, so I'm going to go ahead and read the section that Gene was referring to here for you real quick. Section 2, Subdivision B of Section 5 of the Act of October 6, 1917, as amended, is hereby amended to read as follows. During time of war, during any other period of national emergency declared by the President, the President may, through any agency that he may designate or otherwise investigate, regulate, or prohibit, under such rules and regulations as he may prescribe by means of licenses or otherwise, any transactions in foreign exchange, transfers of credit between payments by banking institutions as defined by the President, and export, hoarding, melting, or earmarking of gold or silver coin or bullion or currency by any person within the United States or any place subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Okay. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
It's very clear.
And so, John, tell us a little bit about your life and what you've done and how you've exposed some things. And just go ahead very quickly, give us about a 1 or 2 minute synopsis of who you are.
Well, I lost my family, and in the course of that, started being involved in family court and started finding some problems there. And then, of course, had some unlawful intrusions into my private life and got into the court system there. And basically put them on notice of all these things several years ago and have been fighting them ever since.
Okay.
I have some things that I'm not sure Phil and Gene haven't touched on, and I'm just going to touch on them real quick.
Okay, go right ahead.
There's other things I think they need to know. The Montevideo Treaty, which was in 1933, so once again, 33 is coming up here, Congress took the state statutes off and put the states under international law. It's a 5-page treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Under the International Organization Immunities Act of 45, Congress gave every public office, that's from the mayor up to the president, over to the UN. To the UN.
Now, by the way, can you give me a copy of that document, please?
That is in the evidence pack.
Okay.
That Phil has on
okay.
his website.
All right. Phil, I need a copy of that, please.
Yes.
Okay. I need one that desperately.
Under the oath of office, which is Title 5, USC 331, 332, and 333, it's backed up by Title 22, CFR Foreign Relations 92.12 to 92.31, Title 8, USC Section 1481. The public official relinquishes his national citizenship when he takes the oath, and they're then foreign agents under the UN.
Tell us, John, where do the paychecks come from?
Paychecks come from the IMF.
There you go. So they're not working for us at all, are they? They have nothing to do with us.
Nothing at all. They are foreign to us. They are a foreign occupying military force. That's what they are in law.
And do they, is that why they don't pay much attention to us?
That is why they murder our children on the streets daily.
There you go. Folks, how much clearer can it be? We don't even pay them. Your taxes do not go to fund the government. And how much clearer can you make that? And John, very quickly, clarify that. Where do your taxes go when you pay your income taxes
your
next
taxes
month? Where do they go?
Are paid to the IRS. Well, the IRS is an arm of the IMF, International Monetary Fund, which is under the World Bank, which is under the Bank of International Settlements. And these things, if you go high enough up, it's controlled by the Vatican.
Wow. And on it goes.
Now, I mean, we have some other documents there in the evidence file, and I think this will make it very clear to the people. These are lien documents filed by our government. These were filed in 2011 because at that time China had not been paid the debt that they were owed, some of our so-called national debt. And they were going to start seizing the assets of the Federal Reserve. And lo and behold, the Federal Reserve owned some things, such as us, that they did not want them to get their hands on. So we had a transfer of us as human cattle, human property, our agricultural lands and our lands from the Federal Reserve to the Department of Defense, to the IRS, Homeland Security, and the Department of Water and Power.
I know a lot of folks know that, but when did this start?
This was in 2011. I'm looking at the document right now. The debtor was the Federal Reserve. And it was a $14.3 quadrillion dollar lien levied against the Federal Reserve, E Pluribus Unum, the United States of America, and the secured party became the United States Department of Treasury 1789, which is a very odd name, became the U.S. Department of Defense Finance and Accounting Services, and the North American Water and Power Alliance. And the lien
wow.
is for all real men with hands and legs. And all real land.
Wow. All right, folks, you heard it. This is available, and I'm going to work with Phil to get this. If you want this information, if you don't have a computer, can't find it for yourself, we will get it for you. I would love to say we'll send anybody free. We can't do that, folks. Try and pay bills here. But this information is available if you want to know the truth. And Phil, chime in. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to say John Smith is a legal machine operating at about warp 10, okay? He's fantastic. I knew there was something wrong when I found out that the West Virginia Constitution, under Article 6, Section 47, says churches shall not incorporate. So you and I and Gene and another pastor took this to the state attorney general, and we said, hey, we got a constitutional crisis here, and it was like a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't hear anything. Now, the West Virginia Constitution, Article 1, Section 3, continuity of constitutional operation states. Now listen to this. The provisions of the Constitution of the United States and of this state are operative alike in a period of war as in time of peace, and any departure therefrom or violation thereof under the plea of necessity or any other plea is subversive of good government and tends to anarchy and despotism. Do we not see anarchy and despotism?
Oh, my. Absolutely.
So what we've done, I don't think has been done before. And it's because of Gene and John. We have served the legislature with legal document, a petition of redress of grievances and breach of promise, which is our right. It is our duty to do that. They did not answer. They were given a time period to answer, and their silence means they agree to what we said. We now have petitioned the governor and the state Supreme Court. They received those probably today.
Well, you do know with the governor, you're trying to corner a weasel. I mean, they're pretty quick. Go ahead.
I don't care.
I understand, but you understand what I'm saying? He's a weasel, but go ahead.
Oh, I know. We are doing what needs to be done, and then we're taking it to the people. We're putting this in the people's court, in their lap, and saying, listen, here are the facts. You can't refute these facts. Here's what we've done. Here's what they've done, which till now has been zero. What are we going to do now? And we do have plans for the future. I can't get into those right now. You know, we're not just saying, hey, we've got a problem and complaining. We're saying there is a way out of this. There is something that the people can do. It's just, will they do it? Are they going to do it?
You know, and that's been a question for a long time, Phil. You and I have been kind of flogging that horse for a lot of years, and then we've had some results, praise God for the results, not like I'd like to see, obviously. Y'all, gentlemen, this month, I'm starting on, right now, I'm 23rd year in the radio, trying to make a difference, and by the grace of God, we have made some difference. We've seen souls saved, which is the most important thing, more important than anything else in the world, but we make some difference in some ways and some headway in other ways, and that's a glory to our Father. Gene can tell you, who's been in the battle longer than we have. Gene, sometimes it can be very frustrating, can't it?
Yeah, but I'm really enthused about what we've been led to find here. I think the Lord's led us. He's brought the three of us together, and I believe he's in it.
He's always in truth.
Uh-huh.
Always.
This is a peaceful process. It's your rightful, lawful, and it's a peaceful process that we're following.
Well, I tell you what, I do admire what y'all are trying to do. And folks, we're running out of time. If you want to call, you better hurry. 855-242-8824. You've been looking for solutions. This is a viable way to try to make a difference. You can vote, you can scream and holler, but you're doing nothing but waste your breath. They're not afraid of you. Maybe they'll be afraid of the truth. That's what they're trying to do now. Go ahead, Phil.
But you remember Hilmar von Kamp?
Oh, yes.
Okay, he came to West Virginia. We invited him. He spoke. As a matter of fact, he even spoke in a high school gymnasium theater. He was an ex-Hitler brown shirt who deserted the Reich Army and crossed, I think, five occupied countries to surrender to the Americans. He wrote a book called The Moral Meltdown, and I want to read something from his book. Everyone take this personally to heart. And in his book called Moral Meltdown, he quotes Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote this in 1974. Now, here's what he said. But let us note that if the absolutely essential task is not political liberation, but the liberation of our souls from participation in the lie forced upon us, then it requires no physical, revolutionary, social, organizational measures, no meetings, no strikes, trade unions. No, it requires from each individual a moral step within his or her power. No more than that. No one who voluntarily runs with the hounds of falsehood will ever be able to justify himself to the living or to posterity or to his friends or to his children.
And that's powerful. And I have to tell you, gentlemen, you already know this. No matter the results, duty is ours. As someone once said, duty is ours, consequences are God's. Our duty is to do what's right. Tell the truth, do what's right, the next best move that is right, as far as we understand it, and trust him for the outcome. Our end time, gentlemen, we know is going to be, if we're trusting him, eternal glory with him. But in the meantime, we're here on earth to do his will. Just as it cost Christ his life to do his will, it may cost some of us our lives one day. And many men since then have paid the price for their beliefs and for their rights. Why should we be indifferent? Tell me, how did we get to be so lazy? Some of y'all chime in. How did we become so apathetic and ignorant? I know it's through the public school system. I know all that. The truth is there if we're willing to look for it. Why do people, John, not want to look for it?
It is very complicated. The lawyers have taken over and have written it in a second language that we don't seem to understand.
They have. That's true. But, you know, when you pick up the War Powers Act, it's not complicated to read.
It's not complicated, but it's hidden very well.
Oh, it is.
Plain sight.
That's the point. It is there. It's not like it's been destroyed and we don't have any history of it. It's there. And if people are willing to look for the truth, it's before their eyes if they just take time to see it. But they're too busy watching a ball game and waiting for something to happen on the other side, waiting on vacation. We become a spoiled, lazy, indifferent, apathetic people. Have we not, Gene?
Yes, we have.
Go ahead, Phil and John Chalmers. You got about a minute before break time.
I was going to say a few more things that I didn't think people were quite aware of. We were officially bankrupt January 1st, 1788. The Constitution was a reorganization in bankruptcy of the Articles, and that was forced upon us by the creditors, which were the banks of England, France, and the Rothschild banks. We never had the country we thought we did. We never had it. There are loopholes in the Constitution that can be changed that would close that. One of them would be allowing Congress to borrow on our credit. The 33 fiasco was because we allowed the credit to be borrowed upon. We became a debtor. And in a creditor-debtor situation, the creditor rules all. That is our problem. That is the main problem.
All right, hang on through the break. Jump back in here. We got a couple callers on. They had to let Gene go to get them on, so we're going to hurry very quickly here. I'm going to take two phone calls, and we'll let John wrap it up. We're going to take Scott to Georgia and Michigan.
Is the supreme law of the land. This it seems to me this War Powers Act is unconstitutional, and those violating the Constitution in a right stated in the Constitution should be tried for treason.
We agree, but the people were ignorant. They didn't know it, and they still don't know it. But you're right. Good call. Appreciate it, George. Good call. All right, let's go to one more quick call. Let's go to Dino, Wisconsin.
Yeah, just something real fast. The problem in the country, friends, is the War Powers Act has been replaced by the Sports Powers Act. Who cares about the sports? How about that?
That's a good point, Dino. Good point. Thank you.
God's soldiers are still in. Government soldiers are sold up. But one more thing. Today, the people, that they have no action on war, but yet they pray for peace while they support the troops in their churches. So see, it's all talk and no action. So there you go. What you're doing, people, is go forward with the truth. Whether you get it passed or not, the issue, you're obeying God, you're going to expose it until the Lord returns.
Thanks, Dino.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Carl. You got about 2 minutes. I'm going to let you feel. I'm going to give you, can I give you 30 seconds, Phil, to say what you want to say, and I'll turn over to John very quickly.
Yeah, that book that Hilmar wrote is Moral Meltdown, The Core of Globalism. And, of course, the churches are very important in morals. And so, therefore, if you're going to a church and you tell them that in West Virginia you cannot be incorporated, but they choose to partnership with the government, then basically alert them of this. If they won't take a stand, leave that church.
Okay. You got about 2 minutes to wrap up what you want to say, John.
All right. Well, I wanted to let the people know that it's not hopeless and that we do have actions that we're moving forward with. We're not sure what will happen of them. But according to maxims of law, which are time-tested truths, when the ordinary is no longer possible, you have access to the extraordinary. And one of the extraordinary things that we have is the ability, as the sovereigns on the land, is to open up our own tribunals, our courts of record. When they won't answer us, then we have the duty to do it ourselves. And there is a charter that I'm going to have Phil post on his website that is a very simple charter for a court of record under 2 pages, a declaration of absolute independence and freedom for yourself to free yourself, and then the court rules and procedures, which all takes up less than 2 pages. This can be done by the people tomorrow.
If you just give them a look at it and do it, that's wonderful. And I want to thank both of y'all for joining us tonight. I appreciate all three of you, Gene and Phil and John. I know that y'all are working hard, really hard, to try and make something move on this. And sometimes I know you feel like a ping pong ball trying to swing in the air, trying to move a rafter. But keep on doing it, because I know that you're making some headway. People at least know you out there. I just want to thank all three of y'all for what you've done. Now, Gene had to go, but thank you, Phil, and thank you, John. Anything you want to say in the next 10 seconds, either one of you?
We're not going away.
No, we can't go away. Not until the Lord says we're finished, and we're not done yet.
Amen.
Anything you want to say, John?
I just appreciate the time.
All right, my friend. Good to have both of you on. We love you both, and Lord, we'll talk to you real soon. So
thanks.
I'll let y'all go now. Thanks a lot, folks. Our last few seconds, we did the best we could to present a lot of information tonight. If you want any of this paperwork, let me know. Send a little donation of paid postage and handling and printing cost, $5 or $10 if you want. But we will get it for you, I promise. If you want it, don't buy it, leave it, lay around. Don't do it. Use it. Pass it on to your friend. Make copies of it. I want to thank you for your support. The magazine, by the way, left Texas. We'll be leaving probably a day or tomorrow. You'll have the Minuteman magazine, and this is another special issue in the church. We love you. By the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night. We're going to talk tomorrow night about what China is doing economically. Remember Lin Jiawei said, "Watch China?" Well, China's making a big move, folks. Big move. We'll see you there tonight. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of